I want to believe that each of us has come here today and every other time that we join together in worship because we honestly believe that Scripture is a living entity that still has import on our lives. I want to believe that we come here seeking that the word to take back into the world, and that what happens in this holy space matters. Certainly not every single service affects every one of us in the same way, and certainly there are times that we are here because it's what we do. And other times we come here to worship with no expectation of being particularly affected, only to find that God's loving arm has reached out and touched our hearts, or maybe even hit us over the head. Still, we come together because we know that there are words for us. There is bread for us. There is wine for us. Bread and wine that gives us life, and words that give us hope and challenge us and remind us. Today we have words from the Deuteronomist, the Psalmist, the letter to the Hebrew people, and words from Jesus as recorded by Matthew, the converted tax collector. And these are not words we would normally hear on the seventh Sunday after Pentecost, but are the words we might normally hear on Independence Day. But I thought these lessons were so valuable that we need not overlook them for picnics and fireworks. The words remind us of who we are called to be as the people of God, and moreover, who we are called to be as the followers of Jesus. And these words do not beat around the bush. And they are words that we need to hear right now in a world that is filled with fear, mistrust, and even hatred. And I was thinking about this homily. I imagined how different our world might be right now if instead of the 24/7 barrage of would-be news stations blasting their loud fury and madly fanning flames of anxiety, they instead broadcasted the words of Jesus 24/7. If instead of broadcasting the vitriol of those claiming to follow Jesus, what we actually heard were the words of Jesus: blessed are the peacemakers, turn the other cheek, you know, things like that. Certainly other great religious leaders could be included in the daily roundup, like Buddha, Mahatma Gandhi, and the peaceful prophet Muhammad. Did you know that every single major religion has a saying at its core that is the same and intent as "do unto others as you would have them do unto you"? Every major religion: Hindu, Buddhism, Muslims, Jews, and Christians. We all have what we know as the golden rule, as a major tenet of our faith. How are we doing with that? So I can imagine if we had, instead of the hate mongering that is ever present in our airwaves today, the peace mongering of folks that we claim to follow, our world might look very different indeed. But the reality is, we don't have that, and we won't have that on the major news networks, because for some reason, we would much rather be angry and scared than be trusting and calm. I have no idea why that is true, but it sure seems to be. Today, here, we have the words of Jesus right in front of us, and the words of two Jewish authors and a later follower of Jesus, words that we were thought to be by our own church leaders particularly important to the life of our independent nation. And the words we all speak about how we treat each other. And the words speak very specifically about how we treat foreigners and strangers, and remind us that we were once foreigners and strangers. And for the record, let me be very, very clear. that these are not my words, nor are they the words of any particular political party or candidate. These are the words of Scripture, and moreover, the words of Jesus. In our Gospel from Matthew, Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. How's that working in our country today? How's that working out for us today? This is perhaps one, if not the hardest thing that Jesus has ever said. It flies in the face of human nature, a nature that is designed to survive. For some of us, this sounds like the most ridiculous command ever. It sounds like giving everything over to the enemy, like laying down and giving up. In our world with nearly constant news of terrorist attacks, how can we even begin to imagine loving the folks who are so quick to kill innocent people? If we do that, we imagine they will win. They will succeed in their evil plot if we turn a blind eye and a deaf ear and merely start praying. But what if that's not true? What if love, as Jesus has said and shown time and again, is actually the only way to win? I'm not saying that we turn a blind eye to terrorism. That would be foolish. And Jesus calls us to look foolish, but not be foolish. What if we actively tried to love the folks who were affected by terrorism, rather than merely talking about it and analyzing it and becoming even more fearful? What if the world actually actively cared, loved each other, rather than being afraid that too many people would gum up the works, take our jobs, clog up our wheels, or our society? What if Jesus is right? Imagine that. Imagine what a colossal change would happen. We are no longer in a world that is divided by the unknown. We are now in a global world. The internet is helping to shape that, and we need to begin to understand that the only way for us to survive is together. We are a great nation. We are a strong nation when we are together. When we remember that we were not a nation forged on individual independence and mistrust, but on mutual respect and support. We can't change the whole world in a day, a week, a year, and maybe not in a lifetime, but we can start right where we are. Jesus said, I say to you, love your enemy and pray for those who persecute you. Most of us here today probably have no idea what it's like to be persecuted, and I hope we never do. But we can pray for those who are persecuted, and pray that one by one the persecutors' hearts will be changed. We can also pray for our very divided country and those who loudly call us to anger and anxiety. Perhaps the best thing we can do is take to heart the words of Jesus and the words of our baptismal covenant that call us both individually and as a church to strive for justice and peace and to respect the dignity of every human being. Those are the groundings that make this country strong.